advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King.
You say funny things.
You all right over there?
Yeah.
You doing good?
Yeah, my Bowen's Xanax.
It's Bart's Parts Bowen.
Bart's whiskey. Parts anti-anxiety.
Yeah.
The Bowen's whiskey.
Yeah, the Bowen's whiskey. Man, this thing is popping over here. It's loud.
We're good. We pop.
Man, so on this episode of the Sofa King podcast, we invite you to roll up your doobies, as Dave calls them.
Yes.
And smoke it while we talk about marijuana, y'all.
Mary Jane.
Yep. Mr. Happy Face. So, reminisce about your favorite weed smoking movies, half baked,
all that good stuff. Down.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Are we allowed to tell any stories about Dave Groton, Trent's friend?
Listen to some Bob Marley.
I'll Dave talk Groton. About the two times I
Dave
smoked
Groton.
Weed.
Okay, cool. he has the presidential speech.
I don't give a shit. I'll talk about my two weed smoking experiences. Wow. And we have a guest today from earlier shows as well, our special secret mystery guest, Tyler Durden. Say hello, Tyler.
Good day.
Okay.
I struggled with that one. I wasn't having a Paul Harvey stroke.
Good day. Yeah.
And we brought Tyler on because he is a weed advocate and smoker and historian and futurian.
And everything else. And he was born in Humboldt County.
And he was born in Humboldt County, so it's in his DNA.
Yes.
And so, a clearing and a weed patch.
Yeah. This past Friday, I went to a daddy-daughter dance.
Mm-hmm. I saw a bunch of that on Facebook.
Yeah, and you know, I actually was cool about it. Like, it sounded fun. Like, and my daughters were super excited to go. And I wasn't going to smoke weed before I went, but I honestly was like, how can I get like whiskey or tequila in my system before I go? But I'm like, it's at the house. So I like debate it. I'm like, no, I can't drink before I like take my daughters to the daddy daughter dance, you know? And I'm like, man, can I take a bottle? Like, can I like, and just swig it before I go in or something, you know? But no, it actually was.
You would
really
have been the envy of many a daddy if you hold up in the side with a. It would have been like prom all over again. People spiking the punch bowl. All these daddies like, dude, come on, let me get a snort.
Yeah, because there was a bunch of them that did not want to be there. Like, they were just
snort?
Chilling.
Snort is that a measurement
snort.
Of whiskey?
Yeah, that's an actual word.
Take
yeah.
a snort.
I know it's a word, stuff. Smarty. I just didn't know if it was a measurement of quantity of whiskey. Let me get a snort of that whiskey.
I know it's a word, Smarty. Jeez.
Now before we get into the weed topic, as we're still winding up, I do want to say that, and this might sound odd to many of our listeners, but I just really want to reiterate that Shia LaBeouf is fucking awesome.
Oh, I'm on board.
I could not get that to work. I'd not find that
awesome.
Anywhere.
Yeah, I'm on board.
Like, the Transformers movies
I'm on the
suck
LaBeouf.
My balls. They all suck my balls. They're all horrible. Don't watch them. They're crap. Him in Indiana Jones, not worth watching. Him in Fury, pretty cool. I don't really like, I'm not like I'm like liking him for his acting, but he does so much legitimate shit. If you haven't seen the Shia LaBeouf opera video, watch it.
Great.
If you haven't seen Shia LaBeouf just do it, watch it. If you haven't seen the random motorcycle dude passerby who has a camera on his helmet and pulls up next to Shia LaBeouf, watch it.
That I haven't seen.
And that one's awesome.
A couple of nights ago, he did a thing where in an elevator at Oxford University, he posted up in the elevator for 24 hours where he wasn't going to eat or even leave to go to the bathroom. And he had a camera in the elevator facing the elevator door, and random people would get in the elevator and talk to fucking Shia LaBeouf, who just stood in an elevator. Fucking awesome. Shia LaBeouf rules.
I would say like he's almost like lost it, but I don't think so. I think he's fucking just marketing genius. I mean, he's like really, he's not even having to do anything to cause, you know, bring attention to himself.
I think the charming thing about him is he's like a rich man's Crispin Glover. Like, he made those four horrible movies that you mentioned earlier, and he was like, fuck you, $100 million.
Yeah.
I just made it.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to show you what I really wanted to do all along.
Yeah, it's just be crazy.
And then he did a thing where for 7 days at a museum, and I forget what city it was in, he just stood in a room as the display in a museum, and he would never speak or stop people from doing anything to him. Yeah, so he just stood silent in a museum. And afterwards, he said that at one point late at night when the museum was about to close,
somebody grabbed his dick.
He was raped. And he didn't really explain. He said it was a female, but he said she did things to me sexually that I did not want to do, but I was committed to my pledge of art.
It's not rape if he didn't say no.
But he just stood right there and let things happen. And people fucked with him and did what, like, that's crazy.
Did any of you see the documentary? My wife hates it, by the way, but she's an engineer. It's called The Artist is Present.
No.
And it's about a performance artist from Eastern Europe who did stuff like that. And she underwent just terrible, terrible brutality doing those kind of performances.
Right.
And her lover actually did a stunt where they slapped the shit out of each other for like an hour.
Oh, my God.
She did a thing where she stood naked and you could walk up to her and poker and do whatever you want. So
that's crazy.
It's like extreme art.
I mean, while you're talking, let me fix this mic in your mouth. Hold on.
So I have that's a great noise. I just wanted to say that I got some Shia LaBeouf joy this weekend, and that he's awesome.
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf.
How did you get the YouTube LaBeouf stream? I've never seen anything live on YouTube, and I didn't see where you could do it. I kept looking. I couldn't figure it out.
I got it through a link on Facebook, and you clicked on it, and it took you straight to the Facebook, and it was alive, and there was a live chat in the corner with a bunch of fucking idiots chiming up. But luckily, you could hit hide the chat, and it was just Shia LaBeouf and some British people talking in an elevator.
That's crazy. Yeah, that is awesome. Like, he's really, like, he's just doing the art that he wants to do.
Yeah, exactly. Right? I got $100 million in the bank. I'm 30. You could all go fuck yourselves.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, and I'll do a movie every so often because the rent's due on my house in the Caymans.
So, like, you know. When my wife and I first got together almost 15 years ago, we went to a strip club on Sunset. And the sign is famous. It says girls, girls, girls. And there is a young person who looks super high, like not on cannabis. He looked like he was smacked up. And I was like, holy crap, that's Shia LaBeouf. And he was by himself. He was so wrecked. And he was like half on the stage where the chicks danced. Every stripper who danced came and grabbed his ass and took him in the back. Like, he didn't even have to tell him.
How old is he? How old would he have been?
Oh, God, he was young. It was after the
first Transformers.
Well, he'd have been probably 18 to get in, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, so it's probably right around.
Was it pre-Transformers?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it would have been.
What was the young people's movie that he was in?
I forget.
He's been in a bunch of, like,
he's been in a bunch of shit.
That's what I recognized him from, and it was a odd juxtaposition.
Whoa, I know. Right.
Oh, man. Crazy anxiety bug. It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. Crazy over there fucking beating up the mics.
So speaking
as he downs some whiskey.
Speaking of being high as shit, our topic is weed, Mary Jane, marijuana, legalization, history, whatever that we want to talk about. I actually want to read a couple of listener comments from our Facebooks, if I can, because my notes printed out on red paper and it's dark in the Fight Club basement. But I do want to point out that at the end of the show, Brad did issue a challenge that he was going to give a shout out to someone if they predicted what his closing song was going to be.
And I already had it in mind.
Yeah, already had it in mind. It's already picked.
It was already picked, so didn't change it.
So we've got a list of listeners who chimed in and gave their vote. We'll read that at the very end as the music is going to play. But in general, the comments from our listeners were that almost everybody said, I think it needs to be legalized. That tended to be the comment. Brandon Stebbins said, I think there should be decriminalization and legalization in every aspect. It's now common knowledge that marijuana was just made illegal due to the DuPont family and others worried about the plastic market and were using the reefer madness agenda to spread negative propaganda.
I didn't know about that.
I looked into some of that. David Schmuck said, legalize it, exclamation point. There's plenty of proof in Colorado and Washington.
Did you just call him David Schmuck?
Schmuck.
That is, I thought it was like Schumack.
No, it's Schmuck.
Oh, okay.
Trust me. I always look at it and I'm like, is it fucking David Schmuck? It's David Schmuck.
He is not Jewish. I'll tell you that much.
Legalize it. There is plenty of proof in Colorado and Washington that pot is not a gateway drug and actually helps people cope as well as brings money into the economy. The prison population in the U.S. is filled with too many nonviolent prisoners. We need to have less people in prison and more people working in the jobs it would create. Couple of other quotes. I'll read them later if they're appropriate, but, for the first time ever, our super fan, Victoria Barton, who always chimes in on everything, simply replied, the only show where I say no comment.
There you go.
Which is kind of mysterious.
It is.
Yeah. So
she's high right now. Allegedly. I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus.
So that first thing about DuPont prompted me to start looking into how pot got prohibited in the first place, because there were no laws prohibiting it at the beginning. And I started to look into it. Some of the facts on the history of weed in the nation. First off, and Tyler pointed this out to me over a Facebook chat. This has nothing to do with America, but he did point out a link to a 2,700-year-old mummy that was found with a bunch of cherished items like a bow and a harp and like perfume and all these things that were super rare 2,700 years ago. And he had a satchel full of weed that no one ever looked at before because they thought it was coriander. But one researcher said that he thought it looked like cannabis and or like weed. And they did a spectral analysis and scanned it chemically, and they said, no, this was weed.
They smoked it.
Actually, and it's just the buds, right?
Yeah, actually, very accurately, Dave, you were right when you said cannabis. The plants that people consume is called cannabis sativa or cannabis indica or cannabis ruderalis, which is usually grown for hemp. But the reason I try to discourage people from saying marijuana is it's a really inherently racist term. It means Mary Jane. And in Spanish, and that was kind of one of those things that in California, that was like a Mexican drug that was going to make him go crazy and rape white women.
And we'll get to that shortly.
Oh, okay,
we will.
Sorry,
no,
sorry.
We no, but I'm just, no. We, as, I didn't know that the marijuana term came from that, but we'll definitely talk about the raping shortly.
And the slang terms are like weed. Weeds aren't good. You know, when something goes to pot, that's negative. So
but
it's a bit of social programming to me.
But
so, you put it in pot.
I call it Doobie.
Sure.
And everybody loves the Doobie Brothers.
That's true. I think
that's not true.
I don't love the Doobie Brothers, and I don't really call it Doobie. I just thought I'd
she come
that
from
there.
Somewhere. I like to smoke weed first thing in the morning. I had no Doobie Brothers on cue.
No,
I'm glad we got so
yeah. So powerful. I'm like,
but getting into the states, what I didn't know was that actually in as early as 1639 in the Jamestown Colony, there was a must grow law that forced all farmers to grow it. There were laws there. There were laws in Virginia. There was a hemp shortage from 1963 to 67. And any farmer in Virginia who wasn't growing that crop would get jailed because they needed it for everything.
Yeah.
Well, most specifically, it was a key to sea travel because hemp ropes were the most desirable ropes. They were durable. The long fibers in the hemp stalk is apparently superior for making rope. And in those days, they had long, long buildings where they wound huge roped lengths
stuff,
of rope for
it's superior in every way. Like you can make a 2x4 that's like 100 times stronger than regular 2x4s because exactly what he said, because of the length of fiber is so much longer.
They're not small fibers. Mm-hmm. They're long fibers.
Yeah. Like if you broke a 2x4, it would just like, it would bend before it would break.
Yeah. And that's what I had. They used hemp and weed, marijuana, whatever you want to call it.
Don't call it that.
For millennia. I mean, they used it for the ropes, they used it for clothing, they used it for paper, you know, all types of uses. And then they also used it as medicinal way back, you know, and they were using it for that. So.
And using it for paper does become really important a little bit later in this conversation. The paper issue is actually crucial.
But what you're talking about right now is about a mummy that was found 2,700 years ago with flowering female tops.
Yes.
And the reason that's significant is because the flowering female tops are strictly good for altering your consciousness.
Exactly.
They're not, yeah. it's a thing, folks.
Yeah, no.
And they tested it and it's just as stony as the brand mom likes today.
Yeah, so, no, they said it was legit. They said you couldn't smoke it because time has made all of the chemicals inactive, but they said it would have been a very powerful.
I think the guy that tasted the woolly mammoth, he came and volunteered and showed up and smoked it.
There's no Same way guy. Someone didn't smoke that.
Yeah, someone
There's
did.
No, like some researcher, like the guy that was like, guys, I don't think this is coriander. He was like, I think I'm going to...
I took it out back.
Let me just peel a little bit of this out. Let's just make just a little pinch. Let's just get a pinch of that. I
gotta Anybody got any zigzags?
It's like they ask the doctor, like, doctor, how did you find out it was cannabis? Through rigorous scientific studies.
He's like,
involving me.
He's out in the back. Just
involving me in an apple bong.
That shit was harsh.
Oh, man.
But then again, some other stuff happened in the 1850s. In 1850, actually, the U.S. Census for the year 1850 counted 8,327 hemp plantations in the nation. So it was a massive crop. And again, it was important for seafaring. It was important for making paper. It was important for all kinds of shit.
And just to distinguish, we're probably talking about cannabis ruderalis here. These plants are grown specifically for their fibers and not to produce flowering tops, buds, which is all you want to use for medicinal purposes or recreational purposes.
Yeah, so I heard you had to smoke like the quantity of a telephone pole or something to actually try to get any type of psychoactive effect out of that type of plant.
Yeah, it would be not. I don't know if could.
Could you eat the clothing? Like, and sooner or later you get high.
Nope, that's the same thing. Yeah, there's nothing in it.
So no edibles. Back
Which
then.
Is what's no. funny because that crossover happens where you're not allowed to grow hemp when it has no psychoactive effect and it's clearly political, which Dave is getting to.
Right. So some prohibition laws started, and again, getting into this idea, which I didn't know the marijuana term coming from Mexico, but the prohibition laws, we ended up getting Mexicans because at that time, California was still largely Mexico. But once it became a state, et cetera, there were the fact that the Mexicans were coming over with this weed and they were smoking it, and everybody started to kind of talk shit and say that this was causing all these problems and all this stuff. But most of it was political and dealt with Pancho Villa. What the fuck is going
Close
on?
Close the bag.
Me like, and Tyler Durden are eating those Rex Smith chips. They're fine. They're
Dude,
delicious.
I can smell it. Like it got good, a waft right? of it over here.
It's good.
Rex, they're good, Rex.
Close the bag.
See, Brad, just try one.
No,
man.
I'm telling you right now, it's making me nauseous.
Well,
I'm so serious. You can, whatever. Call me whatever you want.
Well, next time I try to seduce you, I'll brush my teeth. I think they're real tasty.
Good God.
Uncle Dave, you were saying about Pancho Villas.
They're delicious.
Snack time over. Can we
Dave, sorry. What the fuck is happening
about
over
weed
here?
Again? maybe it's a weed factor. We're talking about weed and they've got the munchies.
I don't know.
I'm digressing.
Give me something else.
But so in 1910, because of this influence in California, California made it illegal. Wyoming followed suit in 1915, Texas in 1919, Iowa 1923. State after state started to make different kind of laws and regulations and so forth. And I can't even concentrate. Brent's fucking walking around getting snacks.
I don't know what's happening here. Like it is the psychoactive. Nobody smoked at all except for Tyler, probably. No. I'm saying so Tyler's hungry, but I don't know what's going on with Brent. He's like having issues.
I was just going to try one of these snacks. I don't want to make noise.
Oh, man. You're really distracting Dave, and he wants
I'm
to
sorry,
punch
Dave.
You.
I don't even know what I was talking about. I'm just
so,
I'm
Dave,
like...
So, Dave, you were talking about how the states made it illegal, and somewhere along there, they passed the Tax Stamp Act, and so... It was like a crime to grow it and sell it unless you had the balls to go to the federal government and get some tax stamps.
Was that the one in 1937?
Yes.
Okay.
Man, so glad you were listening because I had no idea.
What led to that was...
I believe it was...
The tax Act in 1937.
Yes.
So a couple of things. First off, in 1931, a doctor named A.E. Fossier wrote about... the Hashishans, which were historically, you can look them up, the modern day American word assassin. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to shock you.
Oh, this is awesome.
Brit finally, I won't move. I'll sit completely still over here.
Brit finally found something that he didn't like the smell of. Oh, this is great.
I'm sorry. Keep talking.
Jesus Christ.
I wish you guys could see Dave's face. He's so pissed.
That's pronounced cheese and rice.
Man.
So the Hashishans were a group of fighters. They were basically, and it's known, they would smoke hashish and it would sort of take them to a transcendental level and they would kill people. They would assassinate people. And that's where the term assassins comes from, is this term, the Hashishans, who would smoke hash and do it, right? Hmm. So they were, it was a religious act of smoking this hashish in order to get yourself in the proper mindset to be a very functional sort of killer, a spec ops soldier, yeah, basically, with an altered state of mind. But this doctor, and this is way before the 1930s. This is, I forget well,
that's,
the exact
that's kind of like
date
the,
stamp.
I mean, that's kind of been a thing throughout time. The Vikings, you know, got high.
Right, right.
You know, and you know, just went out there and was they were a berserker, you know.
What so was like their drug of choice? What were the Vikings?
What was it?
It was a hallucinogen.
Yeah, it was
some sort of,
it was like PCP, like style.
It had something to do with their urine.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It was like burnt wood and then they peed on it.
Right. Peed on it.
I remember
it. They basically drank their own urine.
Yeah.
But it was modified with some kind of wood and fungus.
It was like some
moss and wood and pee concoction.
Which are like urine and ashes, though. You're talking about like some basic type reactions, right?
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah.
But that's where the berserkers came from, is they would get high and just go crazy and just destroy everybody on the battlefield.
What a bummer drug, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, do you guys want to take the drug that makes us mad, violent?
Yeah. Brad's at the party. Fucking everybody clear out because he's about to kill everyone.
No, like he's going to murder us.
Yeah. No, seriously.
But the Hashishans had this is hundreds of years before any of this is written about, but this guy uses this Hashishan situation as evidence that if you smoke weed, you get violent and you're murderous. And he starts to spread this,
course,
and then people pick up on it. A very important person in the history is a guy named Harry Anslinger. And he was in the 1930s, he was the director, the first ever director of the Bureau of Narcotics, which was founded with him as the first head. And he, from everything I've read, was a sexist, racist, deranged motherfucker who wanted to stop weed and also used it as a platform to share his beautiful racist views. And he kept a file that he would make his investigators read that were called the Gore Files. As in gore, blood and gore.
Yeah.
And it was in the gore files were over 200 examples of murders and homicides and rapes that were supposedly caused by marijuana. And he would say crazy shit about the fact that, like, here's one quote from the gore files. There are 100,000 total marijuana smokers in the U.S. today, and most are Negroes, Hispanics, Filipinos, and entertainers.
And then entertainers.
Yeah.
He
hated jazz music. Jazz musicians were the devil.
Black people and Brad Pitt.
Their satanic music, jazz, and swing result from marijuana use. This marijuana causes white women to seek sexual relations with Negroes, entertainers, and any others. And there's quote after quote of him saying all these Negroes kidnapped a white woman and got her so high she couldn't leave, and then she left with syphilis. All the Mexicans are stabbing each other and raping white women because of weed. Like, this is what he was constantly putting forward. And Randolph Hearst ended up becoming fast allies with him. Hearst ran the largest communications empire at the time, a large media empire of newspapers. He owned the San Francisco Gazette, tons of newspapers. He built the Hearst Castle.
And that's the Hearst Castle,
But he hated the Mexicans because Pancho Villa seized 800,000 acres of his timberland and he had bought timberland and owned tree farms everywhere because he used trees to make paper to make his newspapers. And hemp was cheaper and more effective, and he didn't want hemp to take over. So he spread all of Anslinger's propaganda in every newspaper. A quote from the San Francisco Examiner during this time, it says, if I can read this fucking red paper that I have, by the tone, it is coming to this country, the deadly, dreadful poison that racks and tears not only the body, but the very heart and soul of every human being who became a slave to it and its cruel and devastating forms. Marijuana is a shortcut to the insane asylum. Smoking marijuana cigarettes for a month and what was once your brain will be nothing but a storehouse of horrid specters. Hashish makes a murderer who kills for the love of killing out of the mildest mannered man who ever laughed at the idea that any habit could ever get him. And this is the type of stuff that Hearst was constantly publishing.
That sounds like Bush making a speech about the Middle East.
Yeah, pretty much. And they pointed a lot. I can't remember the guy's name. I've got it somewhere in here. There was a very famous murder, Victor Licata, who murdered his family in 1933 in Florida, of course. Everyone said that it was because he was high on marijuana and it made him go violent and crazy and murder his family with an axe. So all these references in the gore file talk about how, you know, marijuana causes axe murderers. But because of all this, so the equivalent of the internet of the day, the Hearst newspaper empire, and the main government guy.
He was the main source of media.
Exactly. They're telling everyone weed is bad. It makes you a murderer. It makes you a rapist. It makes black people give white women syphilis. It does all this shit. At the heart of it, it's a, like you said with Mary Jane, I mean, a lot of Mexicans were coming in and smoking it, and Hearst hated Mexicans because they took his land, so he just went buck-ass wild, and all of this together led to this. Now, I know that listener mentioned DuPont. Tyler, do you know anything about how DuPont ties into any of this? Because that I couldn't find much on.
Well, I think it ties into a simple way, and this is a common theme in everybody who objects to cannabis, and that's that it's hard to make it corporate. Some of the best cannabis I ever grew came from a seed I found. And I put it in a pot of dirt and I watered it and I took good care of it and it was so stony.
Did you talk to it?
No.
That's what they do. That's what good growers do, is they talk to their plants.
No, I use a CO2 drip system, actually. It's connected to a very... Oh, I'm not even
getting
joking.
Sophisticated. Oh, I know you're not.
I'm sure you're not.
But the thing about that is, Dave, is the DuPonts made a lot of money distilling things. They have patented nature in many instances and exploited it to make ungodly sums of money and throw off murderous offspring. But the DuPonts made, well, it's the truth. The DuPonts made a lot of money in dynamite. That's where they originally made a bunch of their cash, was in explosives and stuff. Actually, it was gunpowder. And they internally like to say that they've powered, you know, the American war machine. So the other thing they're into is pharmaceuticals. And so why would they want people to have access to something that has proven medical benefits that you can grow by putting a seed in dirt?
Right.
And it is that easy. I know a lot of people back home who grow cannabis who are not geniuses.
Yeah. And I watched a few documentaries because I don't smoke. I've never been into it. My parents were drug addicts. And so I just kind of and I have an addictive personality. Like the things I get into them hard. Mm-hmm. And I mean, not that I could try weed. I could try coke. I could try whatever. Not that I'm going to get hooked on it, but I really just have steered clear from it. And my brain is already crazy enough without some sort of, you know, antidote to make it even, you know, wilder.
But you might not need it. We have endogenous cannabis receptors in our brain. And if you already have them, like my spouse is like that.
Yeah.
Like
I have crazy visions. I can see, you know, different from everybody else already, you know? So like, not that it would be bad or good or whatever. I just kind of steer clear of it. So I don't have that, connection with it that a lot of people have.
You have done it though?
Yeah, I have done it when I was younger. I mean, high school, right out of high school, whatever. And I just never was into it, you know? And so like, I relate it now, like the stuff that I've watched, the people that I see with it, and the documentaries and whatnot. And I know it's all kind of one-sided or whatever, but, I just see it being like, it got trendy. You know what I mean? Like people picked up on it. There are people who have legitimately used it for a long time and don't brag about it and don't walk around with, you know, with it in their vape pen, you know, and it just seems like people are picking up on it and just trying to make it a trend, you know, because it is somewhat, you know, outlawed or illegal in certain places. And it's one of those things to fight for. And it seems like it's getting to be that trend that you're just like, you know, I don't know. Like, it's not appealing to me.
Well, I think the novelty aspect is interesting because part of moving out of Humboldt County meant moving to a place where it's not totally culturally acceptable.
Yeah.
And back home, like, I would go over to a friend's house. Like, I remember one time, this is like the best description, and it's a very banal story, but I went over to a friend's house and we were going to go to the mall, and he was getting in the shower. And when I walked in, he was like, "Oh, dude, I still got a shower, but there's some joints on the table and there's some Cokes in the fridge if you want to watch TV." But it was just very, it wasn't like, "Dude, we're going to get all baked out. Whoa."
Yeah.
It was, you know,
that's just like, what it is. If you want it, you can choose to have it.
Yeah.
If
and
not,
it's
don't
super
worry about
casual.
It.
And he wouldn't get out of the shower and be like, "Dude, are you freaking high?" Like, it just is. And we start our day like that many times. Just like people, it's customary to have a cup of coffee up there. Totally not like a ritual. It's just,
it's just part of life.
It's part of life.
And it's, I mean, I know it's only been legal for a short amount of time in Oregon, but part of my family lives up there, and I've gone up there the last couple of times I've gone up there, actually two visits ago, I went up there and we were getting ready to go to the coast, and we were supposed to leave at noon, and then it came to be like 1:30 or 2 and we still hadn't left yet. And I was like, why aren't we, like, we're all just sitting around playing fucking video games on our phones. And I'm like, why are we not leaving yet? And then my sister-in-law came and said, "Oh, because we're waiting for, we're waiting for the pot man." And it was actually a relative, and they, because it had already been legal, and it wasn't for her. She doesn't even smoke it, but some of the people on the trip wanted to smoke and they didn't have any, and they just waited for a relative to show up. Yeah. And he showed up, and brother, he showed up. He had fucking mayonnaise jars full of like multiple strains. And he was like, "So what's going on?" And they're like, "We want one so we can chill on the beach, and I want one so I can sleep." And he was like, "Oh, well then grab some of this one, grab some of that one, grab some of this one." And everybody just went on about their business, and he just grows the shit in his backyard. And life is good. And but nothing about it was like this. Again, if it was a culture here in Bakersfield or in a lot of small towns, it's like this, like you know, oh shit, like
it's just
like
fear-mongers.
You're all afraid and acting all shady, or like you're acting like it's something that's a way bigger deal than it is.
Yeah.
It's like, "Oh dude, look what I got. Oh my god." And there it was like, you know, it's like, we hit the road now, like not a fucking big deal.
I think like the people that I see around here that do it, and I've worked with guys, and you know, I know people, and I'm just like, they're fucking idiots. Like, they're not to say anything against anybody else who, it's not a blanket statement for everybody. I know that that's not true, but there are people that are outright smokers and they want you to know about it, and they put it out there, and you're just like, dude, fucking just stop. You know what I mean? Like, it's the people that, like, we were talking about the places, you know, that are around here that sell it somewhat legally, I guess. I don't know what the laws are on it, but like, they look horrible and they're in bad places and there's bad people around them. And it has that vibe that you're just like, I don't fucking want that. Like, I don't want that down the street from my house.
Yeah, like fucking douchebags. Right? Do you think that remedies itself? Cause that is one of my biggest oppositions too. I mean, I'm all for it. And I think there's huge
I don't want people to think that I'm against it, because I'm not. I know that it's good funding. I know that there's nothing wrong with it. I know it's natural. You know what I mean? People have been using it for thousands of years. I'm not against it. There are pros and cons.
Well, my question is just, when a good establishment moves in and makes it professional and they wear scrubs and it's like, it looks legit and there's the whole nice facility, do the other little crappy ones drop off, or is there still a whole bunch of green spray painted crosses and dudes just wearing Bob Marley shirts?
I know. I think that it absolutely clears up. I think if people have a choice, they'll choose a better, cleaner, more professional establishment. A good example is here in town, you know, Cottonwood Liquor and Vibe are in the same business ultimately.
Right. Yeah.
But one has obviously a much greater operating budget.
Yeah.
And so they've located themselves in a higher rent district where they're going to attract a clientele that makes a larger, you know, dollar per transaction deal. And so, yeah, I do think it does. People want to go to a better establishment. Harborside Health in Oakland is a great example.
Right.
I mean, it's better than many pharmacies I've been in. Everybody there is really educated. And when you tell them about your personality, or you tell them about what your health ailments are, they're going to make a very specific suggestion to you.
Are you dealing drugs right now? Somebody's calling, hitting you up.
Cell phone's blowing up.
No, man. No. So And it's like what Dave said earlier. There are many different kinds, and I would say there are many different kinds of users. I'm not really crazy about anybody who like flies the flag of one cause.
Yeah.
Like I get burnt out on my gay friends who make everything a corollary to being gay.
Yeah. And
it's
and, like, and
nope,
those are
just a chocolate cake, man. And that's it.
And those are your buddies. You know what I mean?
They like, are.
And,
exactly.
And you're cool with them. But yeah, you get tired of that bullshit. Like, dude, shut the fuck up already. You're gay. Everybody fucking knows. Calm down. Like, it's not a big deal.
Right. And the same with cannabis. But to answer your question is yes. I think that if people could be free of persecution, we'd also see different folks get involved in the industry. But right now, the majority of folks are people who don't have assets subject to federal forfeiture or people who aren't afraid of doing 18 months in prison. I am. I don't want to go to prison.
Right. Yeah.
So if I were the type to be employed, I would choose straighter employment.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I watched a few documentaries and one of them was about the business end of it. Like there were people who ran businesses. A lot of it was based out of Colorado because that's where the biggest social experiment has been so far.
Sure.
And the longest. But they had legit businesses that were clean. People come up with new computing systems that are automated growing areas. And like, they're just super clean, super professional. The people who own them don't even smoke. They don't do weed, they don't do anything. They don't have any, they don't smoke, they don't dab, nothing. They just know what the industry wants and that's what they give the people. And they capitalized on it because they saw a market. And so it's pretty interesting to watch, but then they have, they still showed that because that was one of the big things was, like once these big businesses come in, will the smaller ones go away? Or what does it do to the black market? What does it do to the corner drug dealer? And they talked to a guy who bought, and he looked like a normal dude, but he had a dealer and the guy would, he said he could meet him anytime and the guy would come and give him his stuff and they do it for a donation. This is even in Colorado because they don't have a license to sell. So they would do the donation thing, and he gets it for, they said about a third of the cost that they would get it if they went to the store, to buy it.
Well, we used to say that gold grows on trees back home because for a while, like an ounce of gold was $300. I remember when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at the time, you could sell a premium ounce of cannabis for $400 to $500.
Yeah.
But obviously, the more you purchase, the you get the volume discount. But I think that the cost is already being driven down. And I think that if somebody wants to be a drug dealer, use your term, they're going to get into a business with better margins selling cocaine or heroin because a tiny amount of heroin, could cost $20 or $30. Whereas to sell $20 or $30 worth of cannabis, it's going to be like the size of a bag of M&Ms.
Yeah.
So, right. As far as smuggling, as far as, the value of it.
When I say drug dealer, because it is still a Schedule I drug, even in Colorado, it's still monitored. You know what I mean?
But so, cocaine's a Schedule II drug, so that schedule is insane.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
I'm just going off of what it is.
Sure,
I consider a dude on the corner, whether he's selling Vicodin, mm-hmm. or fucking if he's giving you ibuprofen, it's still a drug. On some end of it, if it's medical. So I might be wrong in saying that, but I'm not trying to say that just because they're selling weed that they're a drug dealer per se. I understand that I'd rather have my kids buying weed, marijuana, fucking cannabis, whatever, over heroin for fucking sure.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, so, I don't know. I just feel like, I think it's kind of, I think where I'm at is kind of skeptical. You know what I mean? Like there's been, there's been great things said about Colorado, but then also there's stuff that I've read that said that it's not doing as well, that there is more crime, that there is more, but what's that scale measured on? How do you know for sure?
And what would we compare it against? Because I think
you don't have anything like
sure,
that's
alcohol.
That's true. Yeah. Oh yeah. And that's true. I feel, alcohol, tobacco, cannabis is all in the same thing. If you're going to legalize alcohol, which kill fucking more people than guns, drunk drivers, then cannabis is nowhere near, worst case, they're going to go and they're going to sit on their couch and pass out.
Never heard about someone getting stoned and like beating their wife. It doesn't happen. Like they
except for the gore files.
No,
except for gunslinger propaganda. Yeah.
Let me here's some of the stuff I found on Colorado. And like a lot of stuff we look at on this show, it was highly controversial and the stats contradicted each other. But the stuff that I did find, of the roughly $63.4 million in taxes that was raised in the first year by legal marijuana sales, $22 million went to law enforcement, $29.9 million went to schools, and $6 million went to local government. Colorado had 322 retail pot stores, 397 cultivation sites, 99 infusion businesses, and 16 testing facilities. So it's quite a little, you know, booming business. And in addition, there are 505 dispensaries and 748 cultivation sites for medical marijuana. So all of this combines to, and again, I read one report that was written by the Rocky Mountain High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area. I'm not sure what that report is.
Humboldt County is a high density drug trafficking area too. Yeah, it means that there are certain patterns of commerce related to drugs.
So according to their third annual report, it showed that the effects of legalization of marijuana, it says that there was a 32% jump in marijuana-related traffic fatalities, increases in emergency room visits and hospitalizations based on pot, greater pot usage by youths age 12 to 17. It said that another report funded by that same agency through the National Office of Drug Control Policy showed that 40% more school expulsions, which it says most of them marijuana related. I'd like to see that stat. And then since 2008, there was a 2000% increase in the number of Colorado mail parcels destined for other states that were intercepted, and 32 marijuana extraction lab explosions in 2014 alone. So those were the negatives that I saw.
Do you know what all of those things have in common, Dave?
What's that?
Stupid money. People.
How so?
Well, because like do we blame banks for getting robbed? Like cannabis grows and these businesses, they are targets for crime. I think not because of the effects of cannabis, but because it's usually a cash business.
Right.
And people know if they hit that place when, you know, a transaction is going to be $50 a head, there's going to be a lot of cash in that business. So yeah.
In the early stages of that, they insisted that the people couldn't even deposit their money. Like those people had to, in the beginning of that whole legislation, they weren't allowed to deposit their money and credit card companies would not facilitate the transactions for like weird legal status. So they had to accept only cash and they had to like cocaine cowboy, just put it in shoe boxes and hang on to it.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing with these businesses that are popping up, even in Colorado where it is legalized, banks won't fund them. Like they're having to get capital from other areas because the banking industry and probably the credit cards, all that business is not on board yet. You know what I mean? Just because it's in one area doesn't make it okay. So
some of the positive stats that I read on Colorado were that violent crime, including homicide, sexual assault, and robbery were down 3% since 2013. And they specifically mentioned that because those were three areas that all the experts said were going to rise after marijuana legalization, but it actually went down 3%. The article wasn't arguing that weed is the cause of this 3% decline. Yeah, because 3%
could have been
They were saying everyone cited these three things as a reason not to legalize weed, but then they said since we legalized it, it's actually down. So they weren't saying weed caused it to be down. They're just saying it certainly didn't fucking cause it to go up because it's down. And then they said, and this gets into the idea of the positive side of legalization to me, which is that this article that I read said that burglaries at marijuana dispensaries are at a three-year low and property crime around dispensaries is down by 11%. Since full legalization happened in Colorado. So I think obviously three times as few, you know, robberies of dispensaries. And I think, I can't help but think that as this gets bigger, if it goes nationwide, if there's a federal law to make weed legal coast to coast, I mean, it's one of the reasons we wanted to talk about prohibition on another episode because of alcohol prohibition. I mean, at one point it was run by the most murderous fucking street gangs in America.
Yeah.
And then it became legal and it was instantly run by
companies,
murderous street gangs, but they acted like companies. Yeah. Like right now it's, and then
I'm Peyton Manning.
So I mean, while prohibition existed, the Kennedy family sold booze illegally. And then after it ended, they sold it legally. But the fact of the matter is, I think that we're going to, like we talk about these nicer dispensaries. What was that? You had me watch a documentary a long time ago, Brent.
About Harborside Hill.
Probably the Morgan Spurlock one.
Do you remember what the name was?
Is it 30 Days or?
I'm just remembering if you remember the name of the
I'll look it up while you're talking. For the record,
guarantee it's Harborside Health.
Is it up in the Bay Area?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like this it's like the key of all, and they were the ones that were ahead of a lot of the legislation and all this stuff. So Harborside Health. And you watch this documentary with Morgan Spurlock, and he goes and he works there and he sees what it's like, and the place is fucking legit. And it's like, no one's going to rob this place. I mean, maybe a bunch of people like heat status with like, you know, armored, I mean, because there's a lot of security. It's a clean, legit place. And I think as more and more places like this pop up, the little shiesty wannabe gangster who's like selling pseudo illegal weed out of a fucking shitty shop in a ghetto, like those places are going to go away. And it's going to be, I can get weed at fucking 7-Eleven. So why do I need to go to this shiesty ass place? You know,
it was Morgan Spurlock, and the title of the show is Inside Man, and it was Harborside Health Center.
Okay.
So all of
highly worth watching. Yeah. Inside Man, Morgan Spurlock. He goes and he works there, and you really see this other side of a dispensary and the legitimate, you know, the most legitimate one in the nation and how they operate. And if this is a model, that's fantastic.
Just as an aside, also, when you talk about the kids selling shitty weed, there is a strain of cannabis, and it's called Harlequin. And there are many different cannabinoids that get you high. And THC is the most famous one, but CBD is awesome. And, you know, usually like a good herbal have 18% THC and maybe 0.4% CBD if you're lucky. Mm-hmm. But the CBD is a anxiolytic like Xanax or Ativan.
That's the medical part is the...
Yeah, but then again, so is the THC. But yeah. If it was all THC, that's only good for certain conditions. THC is excellent for migraines. It can throw a migraine right off the course. It can relax the blood vessels or however that phenomena works, but it's specifically sativas. But indicas or strains that are high in CBD, you're only going to find those at a place like Harborside Health. You don't grow that accidentally. And someone who's a recreational user would use a strain like Harlequin and be like, this sucks. This is bunk. What's the deal?
Right. Yeah.
But if you had arthritis or spasticity or chronic pain, you would definitely notice, or MS. Like that's the one that really helps people. So.
Yeah. And this is the whole, and I think, I mean, it's like, yeah, a lot of people talk about the fact that in Colorado, there's some really shitty, you know, places just like, you know, here in California. I mean, you go to these medical marijuana dispensaries and half of them are just bullshit, like Brent said, with a green, you know, cross spray painted on the wall.
What was the one down on over there off Baker, like that we saw? What was it? LOL dispensary?
Yeah. Oh, no.
Like, yes. I mean, like there it's fucked up. Like these places.
And I would equate it to this for you, okay, because I know that you're not a fan of cannabis.
No, don't say that.
Okay, but I do know that you're not afraid of a drink, right?
Yeah.
But would you drink if when you decided you felt like having a drink, you walked up to a hole in the wall and like passed $20 through and they handed you a brown paper bag of Le Bouze?
Of whatever.
And it could be a jug of Carlo Rossi. No. It could be Jägermeister. It could be mouthwash.
Yeah.
That's what buying cannabis on the street's like.
Right.
But now with the higher end places, you can go and get a bottle of Suntory.
Yeah. Well, it legitimizes it. And I understand that. I was going to say, when you were talking about the robberies of the dispensaries, I was going to put it towards liquor stores still get robbed. You know what I mean?
Sure,
so
absolutely.
Regardless whether it's legal or not, places still get robbed.
Cash.
Yeah, they still get robbed. So it's not the fact that because they have marijuana or cannabis that they get. I'm trying to get out of using that term now that I know that
nice,
it's racist.
Thank
you. So now that, just because they have cannabis, well, you learn something new every day. You know, that's pretty cool. So just because they have cannabis isn't the reason that they're getting robbed. People need to understand that it is a cash business. And so that's what happens. You
it's
know,
opportunity.
So, it's opportunity. It's there.
But to be honest, I would have to imagine that a certain percentage of those robberies isn't just going after cash.
No,
they also want to walk out with a fucking duffel bag full of weed.
Yeah, because you
like,
can.
I mean, at the liquor store, I'm going to grab all the cash and run out with one bottle of booze under my arm.
Yeah, but if I
think,
go.
I do think a lot of the robberies, especially in states where it's sort of marginally legal, I think a lot of those robberies are also just to get the weed.
I would agree.
They are. And there's something that like I'm not comfortable disclosing because it flies in the face of my own dream for cannabis.
Okay.
And what people think of Humboldt County, people I hear naive people say, oh, I'm going to go up there, man, free love and weed. And it's like, nope, it's so violent. Like, don't run your mouth off about cannabis up there, or people will straight up ask if you're a cop. Like, people are really paranoid up there.
Right.
It's because they're all high.
No. It's it's because that they're all, you know.
Well, they don't want that taken away from them.
Well, and it's organized crime.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, my wife gets frustrated when I see somebody I graduated from high school with, and I'm like, hey, what's up? And they're like, nothing much. Hey, what are you doing for work these days? Oh, just staying busy. Where are you working at? Oh, down south.
Yeah, it's very
and
vague.
And it's all vague. Yeah. And or we have these clipped half sentences.
And you know what they're saying, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
And when I walk away and my wife's like, what did he just, that was so strange. I said, oh, he had a great year. They're growing a new strain.
Yeah. You know?
He was able to sell it all in one shot in San Francisco, which is rad. Yeah. And that's a change of behavior too. Like, people used to be able to sell it all in San Francisco. But now, like, when I go home, people are like, dude, you live in Bakersfield? Would you mind if I put a couple pounds in your spare tire? I would, actually.
Yeah,
no.
Don't. You just get home and they're like, hey, can you look in your trunk?
Yeah.
Like, oh, you motherfucker.
But the thing is there is a lot of violence associated with it. And I think it's because like you can't call the police if you have a falling out. Like, if you and I grew together in this basement and then right before we were supposed to harvest, you cut it all down a day earlier and we're like, oh, sorry, we got busted.
Right.
Yeah. Sorry about your bad luck.
Somebody's pissed off. Yeah.
I can't hire an attorney and sue you though.
Yeah.
Right?
You
know what I mean?
Well, and that makes sense. Like, because it is illegal still. I mean, you know, there is no,
the oldest way of solving problems.
Right? Yeah. Right. That's right. The best way. It always has been. It's been proven throughout the centuries. So,
I'm in prison, but you're dead.
So, we've had a past guest on here, Jason Roskam. Mm-hmm. His cousin, actually, Arian Roskam, is one of the is the cannabis king of cannabis.
What?
Yeah, from Amsterdam. You guys don't know who he is?
No.
So, I watched The King of Cannabis, and it was actually pretty cool. It's a Vice documentary, and this guy goes around, and he's got haters, but this guy's got money, and he has a head grower, and they went to South America, and went to Cali and Santa Maria. I think it's in Brazil. Is that right?
It's in Colombia.
Colombia.
They're looking for old land races.
Yes, that's right. So the land races, I learned some new stuff. So land races are when they go out and find something that grows naturally. They found one that they were looking for just on the side of the road. Somebody had already harvested it. And they actually found it and ran across. Have you seen the documentary?
Well, I have. And what he's specifically talking about is, like, you know, to bring this to the food side of things, you know how the banana that we eat now?
Yeah.
Is like so hybridized.
Right.
And if you look at the old.
It's like, the Cavendish banana.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Interesting. But like a real landrace banana, for example, is almost all seed and pit and it has a low
sugar. They're not as good. Yeah.
Right. So all the cannabis that you buy now has been hybridized and crossbred and da 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 da.
Yeah.
And what those guys wanted to do was get down to source plants. Like,
there were three that they were looking for specifically because they were some of the oldest known genetic versions of cannabis. And it was pretty interesting, like, because even in Colombia, it's highly illegal. They could get killed at any point, you know, like they were like, it's pretty cool. Like,
I
these
always
guys,
wonder if you just contaminated, like if you just kept throwing seeds out the side of the freeway till it, you know, you just
Johnny
start throwing
weed
it
seed.
Everywhere. Right?
Yeah,
you start throwing
Brett wants
seeds
to be Johnny Weed
everywhere.
Seed.
Yeah.
And it's just constantly growing everywhere. Just chucking it over your neighbor's fence, just throwing it in people's front yards. So that it's a weed and it grows, you know, if there's water, it would grow. There would be the male female problem of cross pollination and whatnot.
Right.
And it would have seeds in it. I heard from Trent, but would it be
very happy bees would solve that problem.
You know what I mean? Like, what could they do about that? Like, then you're going to get busted because it's in your front
yard. If they caught you, you would for sure get busted.
You might, like,
you'd get.
Doesn't that seem like a strategy though? Like, would that not happen? Like, you start throwing it by the Kern River constantly, just throw it everywhere by the banks.
No, it would be awesome because, like, in Afghanistan and in like Colombia, they found whole fields of this 70s popular strain in the 70s, like called Colombian Red.
Right.
Like there they found that, like, whole fields of it. So, like, I would love it.
But yeah, they
like
were talking about, like, they found a field of 30,000, roughly 30,000 to 40,000 plants.
That's what I'm saying.
Just on
it's
the
just,
side
it's just
of
dropping
a mountain.
Buds and growing again. Like, it would just happen.
Well, you have to have the right environment too. Like, I guess Colombia with the humidity and kind of like the way that, kind of like coffee, same thing. They have that environment.
That's why Humboldt, the Emerald Triangle, that's
grows.
Why it's so well there. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you, when you have that area and it just grows freely, there's really no way of stopping it. But
and my advice is if you're in America and you're wandering around somewhere and you walk up and you suddenly see a field full of marijuana plants,
keep
to
walking.
Turn around and walk the other fucking way as quickly as you can.
And if somebody pulls up on a quad and looks like they've been up for a couple days and says, "What are you doing out here, boy?" Say, "I'm running away from the bear."
Yeah.
And keep going.
Yep. Look for landmines. Just fucking creep out because you've run into someone's crop.
Yeah, the time of year to be really careful if you're out hiking off the road in Humboldt County is like August to October, November. That's the harvest.
Oh, really?
But if we got on Google Earth right now, I could show you grows, like huge grows. Like there, once you know what you're looking for on the ground,
and you can see it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have friends in Southern Humboldt County who have told me, "Man, that Google Earth is a snitch." You can see the irrigation.
I thought I thought Google Earth images were outdated though. They're like a year off and whatnot.
Dude. Some of them are. Some of them are updated. Like it depends. But part of what I learned was that edibles are kind of a new type of thing, especially for places where it's legal. Edible overdoses are kind of that's kind of the issue. So we were talking about Trent with the chips and all that stuff earlier.
It seems really
this week.
Innocent because it just tastes like you ate three Doritos.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and they were saying that, and that's why I said that like 10 milligrams is a serving and a candy bar would have 100 milligrams in it. And so you eat the one serving, wait 30 minutes and you don't feel anything. And then you eat the entire candy bar, kind of fucks you.
Well, and
not
so,
kind of, it would.
But let's talk about overdose for a minute. If I took all these pain pills here, the imaginary bottle of pain pills, if they've got acetaminophen, then my liver is going to shut down and I could suffer respiratory depression, which can lead to death.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Now, unless you have a predisposition to schizophrenia or
a weak heart and you have an anxiety attack or something.
Yeah.
It's going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And of course, have you guys heard the YouTube video of the cop who sees the herb and him and his wife cooked brownies?
Yeah,
and
he calls the best video.
Hello? You need to send an ambulance right now. Why, sir?
I'm dying.
Oh, yeah. I'm dying. Oh, what? Oh, my wife says we're dead.
Yeah. Oh, I have seen that. Yeah, yeah. No. She's telling me we're dead.
Yeah. Said, I think we're dead because time's moving by really, really slow. I think we're dead. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember seeing
There's
that.
A new one that just happened. Actually, a couple kids had a car full of weed and they called the cops and they said, "Okay, we give up." And the guy's like, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "We give up. I know we're surrounded. We can see you everywhere. Just, I don't," he's like, "I don't know why they don't just come over." He's like, "Tell them to just go ahead and get us." He's like, "For what?" He's like, "We have a whole bunch of weed. Our car's full of weed and we know we're caught. So just everyone's just circling around us." We
and then they're like,
them.
"Where are you at?"
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. He's like, "Okay, well, what's your address so I could just make sure it's the right cops that I'm calling?" And he's like, "Yeah, well, we're going to send a couple officers over to you. Do you have any guns?" And they just totally call and told on themselves and turn themselves in. There's nobody. So, they're paranoid.
So cannabis smokers are the worst criminals is what we're saying.
They are, but more specifically, an overdose is going to result in just like, not just, but like a psychotic episode, essentially.
Yeah,
or
right.
Paranoid.
You're just going crazy.
Because
it's
like, and a couple of years ago, because I had never smoked weed in my entire life. I'd never consumed it in any way. And I'm an insomniac. I have various pains from karate injuries. I usually take, prescription sleeping pills to try to sleep at night. I take those quite often or I'll have a drink of whiskey or something. I get shitty sleep no matter what. And I've had a lot of people tell me, well, if you smoke certain strains of weed, it's really going to help you out and let you sleep and so on and so forth. And when I started really talking to friends and looking into like what I should do, and I had mentioned edibles to a couple of friends of mine who are really into weed, and almost all of them universally said no.
Like, your personality is not cut out for it.
And they just tell me, like, I can tell you exactly how much weed to smoke, how many hits to take. Like, you're somewhat regulating it based on common knowledge of what's in a joint. But they're like, I have, like, even they say, like, you know, I go to a new dispensary and I get a new gummy bear or whatever.
I have no idea how much
is in that brand of gummy bear until I've tried it once or twice. And like, even I won't mention names, but someone who I know ended up taking a gummy bear. And it didn't do anything. They waited like an hour, like nothing at all happened. Yeah. And but they knew, like, okay, I know it's in there and it's really potent, so I don't want to go kind of buck wild. And they ended up eating one more and they drove downtown to get some coffee. And About 30 minutes into the coffee, they just got bulldozed by, and they were so high, they had to walk to their car like two blocks away and just shut the door and lock it and let it pass. And they just fell asleep and slept in their car for several hours. And they kept waking up high as shit and going back to sleep. And then they finally woke up and the worst of it had passed and they went and got more coffee and something to eat and then drove home.
Yeah.
But it's like, I mean, I think with edibles, you don't know what you're, I mean, that's one thing I have learned is cautious with edibles.
Yeah. And if you're, I mean, again, if there was an industry standard, then you would have, you know, it wouldn't be so sporadic. You know, here people are making them wherever, you know, you don't know where you're getting them from. And that's what, you know, Tyler said earlier, that you're kind of guessing whether you're getting, you know, actual cannabis or mouthwash. Like, you don't know what it is, you know,
if you're buying it off the street or you're doing it. Now, the nice thing is that the collectives, there are some brands, Bhang, Bhang, they make a chocolate that is wonderfully packaged. The product's incredibly consistent and it's like gourmet chocolate,
right?
But it's very potent. But like you were saying earlier, people make the mistake of eating a square and then a half hour later, they're not on. So they try to eat more. You've absolutely got to wait an hour to an hour and 30 minutes.
Yeah. Right.
But when I said, I don't think you have the personality for it, Dave, I think you're already very thoughtful. And I think you're very capable of living inside a moment and taking it in for all it's worth. But some people aren't.
Yeah.
So herb for them, it slows things down and they can
stop process.
And smell the roses and process.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if I don't know that you need that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And the other thing was, the other argument was, you know, you're making candies and, you know, chocolate bars and these gummy bears and, you know, lollipops.
And we outlawed flavored tobaccos for this very reason.
Right.
Yeah. Children. Them.
Yeah. Right. And that is a logical, you know, all of these other bullshit arguments, they're whatever. But when you get into the edibles and the candy part of it, somebody leaves one of those on a, you know, and the, one of the businessmen who makes edibles, in Colorado, his argument was, you know, would you leave, you know, alcohol on the table? Would you leave a loaded gun on the table? You know what I mean? Like, but then again, kids shoot themselves with a gun that they found.
And I mean,
you know,
it also raises the other question. It's like, my oldest sister, she has like chronic pain in her wrist. She has like just constantly, she had surgeries, all sorts of stuff. Nothing helps. And she can't smoke. She's tried to smoke weed since she was young. And every time she does, she has a horrible reaction. Like she can't process it with her lungs. It's never been on the table. So a friend of ours got her some edibles and they're like the greatest thing she's encountered. They're better than prescriptions, et cetera. So it's like if you take away chips, gummies, cookies, and chocolate, like, what am I going to make? Fucking weed hummus? You're going to put it in a bread. Like, you've got to put it in something. And it's like, what do I put it in?
It look like something that kids don't want, like something that you absolutely wouldn't leave around them, like make it dick shaped. Like, you know, like a dildo. You're not going to leave that just laying around because everybody's going to know. So,
They have like tincture. It's like suspended in alcohol with a dropper that you just put under your tongue.
Oh, okay.
Well, and they have
in my life where I lived off tincture.
So I want to know. Yeah. Like,
did you just say there's a period in your life where you lived off taint, sir? Is that what just happened?
Well, let me ask you in my best Bobby Deevil. Do you eat ass? I'll eat a clean ass. Anyway,
I want to give Tyler credit for being a true stoner too. Cause an hour into the show, he pulled a breakfast jack out from somewhere.
It was just in his pants.
Yeah. Like, ate a breakfast jack.
Somebody on Twitter said that we needed experts. We got fucking experts.
Got experts.
So
my buddy Trent has never, ever had a pleasant experience with an edible ever. It's always a horrible anxiety roller coaster ride of just like, everybody leave me alone. I'm going to hide in this room and wait till this passes. My feet are high. Mm-hmm. So you're saying you lived off tincture for a little while. How does that work out for you? Do you think you found the sweet dosage? I mean, it's a completely different high, though.
I do, but I should also disclose that I used to do
Copious. That's the word you're looking for.
No, no. Copious. No, no, no. I used to be involved to in a couple of, I hate the term extreme sports, but that was it. I used to jump bicycles.
Right.
And some and do stupid jackass style stunts before jackass and didn't realize I was going to live to be 42.
Right.
And I have
I'm getting there. Yeah, yeah, I'm getting there.
I have arthritis in my hips and my left shoulder and my neck. I'm missing a number of teeth. I've had like 6 concussions. I have a seizure disorder.
God.
So I look healthy on the outside, but I'm pretty beat up.
And handsome, I might
don't
say.
Speak
well,
so
thank
soon.
Thank you very much. Just, you love my thick you love my thick black locks.
Yeah.
So for me, I think I'm in a pretty steady level of discomfort.
Right.
So does that make sense?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
no,
I feel great and it's accelerating me to Superman.
Yeah. No, we actually just,
you have a pain buffer.
The last episode I was telling, Dirk, from the Float Center that I am in constant pain all the time. I'm similar to you, broken bones, concussions, you know, just, I mean, I've been hit on my motorcycle, you know, barely lived, you know,
dude,
so
motorcycles, I want to kick a motorcycle's ass.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah.
What?
Because motorcycles have kicked my ass. Oh.
Yeah.
I want to just go kick a bike over.
So, yeah. So, I mean, yeah. I mean,
you're just going to go bully some 50s.
Yeah. Dirt bike riding, quad riding. You know, I rode BMX, skateboarded. I broke my same ankle 4 times.
Sure.
The same ankle over and over and over again. Till
my question is, were you doing the same thing all 4 times?
No, different things. And
really on you.
By the 4th time, you're like, yeah, it's broke, and you just walk around on it until it heals. But like, there's no going to the hospital anymore.
No, it yeah. Yeah. Or you do a lot of pain pills. And
yeah.
I don't like that feeling. I don't like being constipated. So, and the rest of the things that come along with
pain pills are bad.
They are. They're bad. And so to answer your question, the truth of it is, like, being on it all the time, it does kind of make you a little more casual.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and people close to me will say, like, oh, I like this version of you better.
Right.
Like, you're like, I let a lot of stuff go. I notice I let my hair get a little longer.
And no anxiety, though, huh?
Well, this is the ticket. You need CBD, I could tell right now.
Right.
Like,
yeah. As your pharmacist.
No, I just, you telling me that you have anxiety, like, right. I get it, man. And I would only use a CBD rich product if I were you and see how that works. The other interesting thing about CBD is that if you use something that has a lot of THC in it, CBD has a buffer effect, and it takes off it kind of counteracts some of the cannabinoids that can cause paranoia and anxiety. That's one of a couple specific cannabinoids.
Right. So you get more.
So the higher CDB you have, the less paranoid effect you will get from the THC.
That's the strong word.
Kind of the buffer. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, there's something I could suggest to that person if they wanted to try it.
Okay. So drug testing. I know they test for THC. If you're taking strictly CBD oil, how does that work? Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, like, my understanding is you won't test positive, but I'm fortunate to be self-employed, and honestly, that's a side effect of me using cannabis.
Of your life, sure.
Yeah, because
you've had to change your life to be able to do it.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah,
and it's good for me that in my industry it's totally acceptable. Like,
right.
There's a website for that tells
male prostitutes.
Yes.
Yes.
But gigolos. I prefer the term human cock piece. No, but it is a choice. And thank goodness that I work in an industry where it's not common. But if I worked in a safety sensitive industry, unfortunately, I wish we had more sophisticated tests for it.
Yeah.
You know, they could just used it.
The testing is interesting to me because it's like, I think it was 3 years ago. I think it was my 41st birthday. Maybe it was my 42nd birthday. It was the first time I ever tried it. It was actually on my birthday. I was given a lovely strain, and I'm very proud of this, and I will be till the day I die. And the strain was called what, Brent?
Skywalker. I was told by Trent.
Yes.
That Skywalker Kush is good.
So I was very happy. I mean, it could have been some ridiculous fucking name, Blue Smurf or some shit. No, it was Skywalker. I'm legit. I'm cool with that.
Which is supposed to be good for insomnia.
Right. Supposed to be good for insomnia. But the problem that I faced was, and I'm not opposed to trying this because, like I said, I know that the pharmaceutical stuff that I take or the whiskey that I take to try to fall asleep isn't helping my health any more than anything else. So I really want to try to find like some magical strain of weed that can help me beat my insomnia and stay asleep. But the problem was I just smoked it in a joint. In a doobie, as you will.
In that Swisher Sweet?
No.
Blunted
that it. Sounds awful.
No.
But I've never smoked anything, and it was like fucking smoking a cheese grater. Like the effect of me like wanting to like chill out and fall asleep was like interrupted by 30 minutes of the most violent coughing I have ever done in my life that fucking wore me out and worked me up so much that once the weed kicked in, I really wasn't tired. I was just, my lungs hurt and my throat hurt. And I was like, fuck.
That's because you had Darth Vader in your throat.
I tried again with one called Sleeping Beauty. Which was supposed to even more, hence the name, help me fall asleep. But again, it was the same exact thing. I smoked it. Like once the high kicked in, it was fairly pleasant. I enjoyed it, but I couldn't really lay there and fall asleep because I just got so worked up from the coughing. And I know people have said I should try to vape or I should try to do something else.
Don't vape.
But
or just please let, don't you got to let a little cold air pass that joint. That's what's the problem.
Do you vape, Tyler?
I don't. I haven't.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Because there are all these cannabinoids in cannabis. Like I said, THC is just the one everybody knows about.
And I don't mean the liquid vape. I mean those little boxes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I know that it works for some people, and I guess there would be some instances where it would be good. But I like to burn the plant, and yeah. I like to eat it.
I want to shoot it up and just put it right into my veins.
Right in my eye.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of that. I'm sure that happens somehow, but I'm gonna do that. Very common.
I'll do that for sure. But I think I don't condone vaping. And if you're vaping out there, just stop, please.
Well, because it's different. I know like what we call vaping is you get the electronic thing, you put the liquid in, et cetera. And I know that exists. But like a relative of mine has a little wooden box that's called a vape box, and you still light it, right?
It's called a magic flame. Flight launch box.
No. Doesn't it light on fire or no?
There's a couple different.
Because you still
ways
put regular weed in it, correct?
You do.
Like you put the actual plant in
cannabis,
the thing.
Sir.
Yeah. Sorry.
You wanna grind it up.
Okay, that's right.
And then you put it on some sort of surface inside of the vaporizer. And if it's a good vaporizer, sometimes it will heat air in another compartment up to a specific temperature. I want to say it's maybe 175, 180 degrees. Mm-hmm. But that causes a process called decarboxylation.
Okay.
Google that and then it'll tell you, did you mean? and what that does is
it releases
the THC and makes it so that your body can consume it. And you can, cooking does it, burning it does it, and vaporizing does it. But vaporizing to me is a different feeling. I don't care about it that much.
Decarboxylation.
Oh, nice.
Mechanism. So you almost had it. That's pretty good.
Okay, very good. So either it pulls hot air over it or it actually heats up like a little frying pan and then you inhale the vapors. I just don't like the way it feels.
Okay.
It's convenient and it doesn't stink as much as like smoking. But like I said, there's a couple products, edible products that I think are super useful for medicinal use, and they're pretty standardized and predictable.
Really?
Yeah.
How about Chiba Chews?
I love Chiba Chews.
Those are dangerous.
What's a Chiba Chew?
To give you an idea, I eat a quarter of one of those.
So it's a candy.
Someone gave Trent one of those and Trent ate a quarter of it. And it was like 10:30 at night because everyone was asleep. And that's the only time Trent would try to do something like that. Then 11 o'clock came around and nothing happened, and like an hour went by. And so Trent ate another quarter and then like an hour went by and like nothing happened, but it's getting late. Trent's got to get to bed. And for some dumb reason, because something probably was happening, Trent ate another quarter of it. So Trent ate three quarters of this thing that looks like a Tootsie Roll. It looks really innocent.
They're kind of tasty.
Yeah. And it's apparently good. And it was just like a little candy. Like you literally feel like you ate three quarters of a Tootsie Roll. It's just this weird innocence of what could come of this, right?
Right.
It's a Tootsie Roll.
Borderline heroin intoxication.
Yeah, right. Then you wake up at 3 a.m. and your feet are like floating because when you eat it, it's not even THC anymore. It's like alpha hydroxy something something. Like when your liver processes the THC, it becomes something else,
right?
And it's a completely different psychoactive effect. It's a body high. So I heard that was a very unpleasant, and that someone couldn't even work the next day.
Well, it could be, and it's something that you kind of get into. What's interesting to me about eating cannabis is like, imagine, I don't know how to explain the dosing, but like you ate two and you probably needed to eat 2 1/16, but you were just beneath the threshold of really feeling it.
Right.
And instead you ate another third and it rocked you. Like,
you overdosed yourself.
Trent did. Yeah.
Trent overdosed himself.
Yeah. No, but Yeah. So the dosing and titration can kind of be tricky to figure out. And obviously, if you have a health condition you're trying to treat, I would recommend doing it on a Friday. Right. And there can be a kind of a hangover.
My experience with cannabis actually made me realize, every so often I make realizations about my job as a college professor, but like as I was getting this, as I was getting ready to smoke it, like I had so many people, they were just kind of fascinated that I was doing it in the first place because I've never done it in my
entire life. They were all watching
you. They were like, ooh, what's going on? But everybody was like, dude, aren't you worried about drug testing? And like they would ask me that and I was like, no, like, is that a thing? Like, no.
Do they test like, it? I'm curious. Do they test at the college?
No. If the day you test for weed at any academic institution is the day a third of your faculty get
there's job
fired.
Openings.
Yeah. Like, I mean, no.
Job
openings. It is the wrong industry to do drug testing.
Yeah.
So, but it didn't even dawn on me. And then I was like, I was like, no, they're not going to do a drug test on me. Like, who gets fucking drug tested? And they were like, everybody. And I was like, oh, really?
That brings up a good point, too, because You can have a prescription, but it's not like having a prescription for Xanax. Because if you go drug test and you test for that.
Check this out. Xanax goes out of your system. Weed stays in your system. So there was an interesting thing on one of the documentaries. It was called LifeLock. And it's actually a company who's actually trying to make a breathalyzer similar to an alcohol breathalyzer where it would be able to trace kind of when you smoked. So if you smoked Saturday, you don't show any signs today. You know what I mean? Or if you smoked last night before you went to bed because it helps you go to sleep, you're not intoxicated this morning.
Right.
That way they know. So if you do get drug tested, say you work in the oil fields or fucking building buildings and you're 30, you know, stories up.
Right.
Obviously you don't want to be high doing those jobs.
No.
So they're trying to, you know, this legalization has it's new and they are trying to create, things that go along with that, you know, so people can smoke and work in industries where it's not acceptable to be high, but it's the same as alcohol. Right. You have a drink, people go home and drink at night.
I think that technology would be actually an important step towards legalization because
if everybody knew they had that,
if you've been consuming alcohol and we can exactly tell you what your blood alcohol level is, and that tells us exactly how drunk you are.
Yep.
If there's also a device that someone can use so they can tell exactly how high you are based on whatever, that's going to make law enforcement get behind it a little bit more because they can now give you tickets because you're driving under the influence. I mean, if you have that testing measure in place, I think it's going to make people who are resistant to it come on board a little bit more.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge because you're not able to tell, you know, you do a test now and it's like they could have smoked a month ago.
That's what always bothers me is like if you drive a forklift for a living and they give you a drug test because you went to some party 2 weeks ago and that shit was over at 6 a.m, you know, weeks ago. And now you can't drive a forklift because you need to
take a test that says I'm not able to drive a forklift now. Not I got fucking baked at a party.
Yeah. One bag of Doritos unopened. You just set the bag of Doritos down, and if the bag remains sealed, they're good. They can drive the forklift.
No, it's an interesting thing though that you know it has created this niche where those devices need to be developed because even smokers and non-smokers alike, that's important. You know what I mean? For job security, for you know what I mean? Because they actually a guy got fired from his business because he's a quadriplegic. And he smokes before bed. Like that's his normal thing that he did.
Right.
And because it was legalized in the place that he lived, he thought it was, you know, it was good. He wasn't doing it irresponsibly and then going to work and, you know, and being high at work. That's just, you know, his normal thing was before bed to manage pain and everything else. Because I think I know he couldn't walk. I don't know. I think his arms worked and stuff. So I guess quadriplegic would be the wrong term, but he was paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay.
And then he had pain. He was in a paraplegic and he was in a car accident. So that's kind of interesting. And that's where that led to was the LifeLock thing where they are actually trying to create some sort of testing. And that, I think that would be huge if they came up with that.
Yeah. So it's legal right now in Washington, Colorado,
Alaska,
and Oregon,
and Alaska.
And Alaska. Yep. And who was it? Who had the shiesty one that they tried to pass last year? Was it Utah?
I'm not sure. I know there's a huge case going on right now bordering states attacking the other states because of it crossing borders.
At the last election, one state had it on the books, and even I want to say it was Utah, but even the cannabis advocates were saying, do not vote for this bill,
right?
Because the bill was written in a way that said something like three people would have the legal right to sell the cannabis to all the dispensaries in the state permanently and forever. So it was and guess who wrote the bill? These three fucking rich farmers that wanted to do it. But it was basically, no, we'll have legal pot. It's going to be great. Fantastic. But we're the only people in the state who will ever be able to sell it. So, and luckily it didn't pass. The word got out.
Ohio. That was in Ohio.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know it was a state. I talked about it on the show a while ago, but I remember, and everybody was like, why are you against it? And I was like, because these three
sacks
are going to be in charge of all of it.
That was the corporate thing. Like they were going to corner the market and own it basically.
Legally, we're the only ones who can ever sell this shit. Like they would have been so rich.
So what's the difference between obviously Alaska, it's legal. There's certain states where, like California, it is medical, you know, if you have a medical license, whatever, you can't really grow it, or you can grow a small amount of it. But what is it when it means it's decriminalized?
When it's decriminalized is that it's a low law enforcement priority.
It's like an infraction, basically.
It is an infraction right now, but there was a proposition that passed, I think almost 2 years ago now, that decriminalized a lot of stuff. But this is an example of decriminalization. To me, in practice, I got stopped because by the way, I know you can't see me, but I have long black hair and I have a beard.
Right.
And I totally understood what it felt like to be profiled on, because I got pulled over and this cop was like, where's your dope?
Wow.
And I was like, it's under my seat. And he was like, okay, let me see. And I pulled out some cannabis and he was like, not that dope. Where's the dope dope? And I was like, dude, you got the wrong guy. But I think I was wearing a Motley Crue t-shirt and with my appearance, and they were convinced I had hard drugs in the car.
Wow.
And so he was just like, I don't care about that at all.
I would like to say I drove a 1969 Volkswagen bus for a little while, and I had long hair and
for sure
scraggly, you know.
Yeah, that's just the assumption. Yeah.
I got pulled over and got like searched and stuff. Like they would say, "Oh, we had a report of this exact vehicle transporting drugs from the east side of town to this side of town." I was like, "There's like one of these."
Yeah, it's a cold case from 1978. Like, what the fuck are you?
Where's the talking dog? Like, where's your dope?
1978 cold case.
It was filed by Ponch and John.
But they would literally put me on the curb and like empty my whole back seat from the bus and pull all my books out of my bag from BC and lay them all out and ask me those questions. And then they would resort to, well, how much marijuana have you smoked? And I was like, none. I like at the time, I think I was vegetarian or something too. I was like, I don't even eat meat. And the guy's all, psh. Yeah, that's even more likely. Yeah. Like he looked at me
suck
like,
this dick.
Yeah, now you're a hippie. So it was constant though, dude. I get the sobriety test, flashlight in the eyes, follow my finger.
But again, like talking about the idea of just decriminalization, I remember when I was 17, my father and my brother both lived just outside of Ann Arbor, in the bad part of Ann Arbor, Michigan. And Ann Arbor is where U of M is. It's a huge college town, one of like the famous college towns of the U.S. The population like quadruples when the semester is in session, and then it's a ghost town when all the students leave. And there's so much weed going through there, and Ypsilanti, which they border each other. You cross a street and you're now in Ypsilanti instead of Ann Arbor, but
Eastern Michigan is right next to Michigan.
What's wrong with your mic? What are you doing?
This guy is stoned.
It was like moving on its own.
I prefer that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much more rich.
Like that black.
But at the time, and this was a long fucking time ago when I was 17, but if you got pulled over, and I think it was basically, and it wasn't like an official thing, maybe it was, but in general, everyone in town knew if I've got less than an ounce of weed in my car, they're just going to confiscate the weed and give me a $50 ticket. And it happened all the time because every other person was a college student who had an ounce of weed or less in their car. And the cops would, if they caught you with the weed, they would write you a ticket. They'd snag your weed and you would go on about your business. And that was it. No one got arrested. They didn't have the fucking manpower or the prisons to arrest. And then it would be devastating for the college, for the economy of the city. They just kind of gave it up. Same thing. Like if I think of other places where it's kind of informally decriminalized, if you ever go to Waikiki, There's a street called Kalakaua Avenue, and it's very famous because it's where all the tourists go. That's where all the sailors go, because there's the main hotel that, like, you would go on vacation on if you were in the Navy is right there. And when I had my dreads, I would go, like, every year I would go with my family, and I thought everyone experienced this, but apparently it was just me because I had dreads. But probably twice a block, and I am not fucking exaggerating, twice per city block, some dude sitting there would just give me this quick imperceptible nod and say, Wheat.
Ah, the street score.
And it was like everywhere. And I'd be like, no, thanks. And then, like, I told a buddy of mine, Creighton, I told my brother, and they were like, that doesn't happen on Kalakaua. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? But then once they were on the street with me looking for it, they were like, damn, dude, everybody tries to sell you weed. But again, same thing with hookers. There's hookers everywhere on Kalakaua Avenue. And the cops don't worry about it. The Navy's there. The tourists are there. They don't want to arrest everyone buying weed and getting a hooker on Kalakaua Avenue, because that's going to fuck up Kalakaua Avenue, and everybody just kind of turns a blind eye to those two vices happening on that street, you know? And again, there's huge efforts, like the vice in Hawaii. I've even seen a couple of documentaries that talk about this, and they even say, like, they mention it, like, these cops, and they're like, you know, well, you're in vice, how come no one really polices what happens in the city? And they're like, because we really don't give a shit about what happens in the city. Someone selling a couple of joints to a tourist or a sailor, that's not what I care about.
Anybody.
What I'm caring about is some cartel that's growing 30,000 plants on the side of a volcano that's loaded with landmines and is going to shoot someone who's hiking and happens on their pot stash. Like, our worry as a vice department is stopping what's growing in the tropical jungle, not stopping some ridiculous fucking $20 weed sale on Kalakaua. Yeah. And it's like, to me, that's exactly the right mindset. You know, it's like, we're just trying to stop organized crime, you know, on a massive scale, not some tourist scoring.
And I think if you got caught with intent to sell, I think that's where you're kind of screwed at, you know, like, if you just had a little bit on you, it's whatever, you know. They might give you shit for it, but, you know,
they can't have a little bit on you in 20 little bags.
Yeah. Right. And a wad of cash. Like, that's the giveaway. You have $10,000 and a wad of cash and a bunch of bags.
So I've only got one joint 80 times.
I think they call that drug indicia.
Yeah.
Like, if you have, like, you know, the way that if you read those warrant applications, God, I love Google. It'll say, you know, in my professional police training, I saw evidence of drug indicia, including a scored glass table. Oh. You know, if I'm, like, cutting dope with a razor blade. But if you have, like, baggies and a triple beam scale, then you're probably selling drugs.
What if all the baggies were labeled as different strains? So you're like, no, I just got lots of flavors.
There you go.
I've actually thought about that.
Yeah.
Like, and I actually told my husband once, I was like, do you realize that if somebody wrote in the paper what we have in our house, like, how much trouble it would look bad.
Yeah.
You know, semi-automatic rifles and drugs and
exactly.
Yeah, it would be screwed.
And the thing, and I mean, even the way, I mean, like, the specific law in Oregon is that you can have 8 ounces of processed ready to smoke weed in your house. You can have 1 ounce out and about, and you can have 4 plants per household, but you cannot sell or buy. So that, I mean, those are the laws in Oregon. So everybody, you can grow your own. You can grow 4 plants. You can have 8 ounces.
And you're not supposed to smoke it out.
And you can't smoke it in public. Yeah. That's one of the other,
Here it's 6 immature, 6 mature, 12 total.
But that's not medicinal. That's anybody in Oregon can do that. As long as you're 20, we have to be 21.
Right.
But as long as you're 21, it's not medicinal. It's just, there it is. And they're trying to get licenses passed in the next year where people can now sell it, but it still hasn't passed.
I think it's all bullshit because you don't have an amount of liquor you can buy.
No.
Which, if you fucking drank enough, you're either so fucking smashed you don't remember anything, or go kill people. Or overdose on it, you know, and die.
No, I know people really dope, expensive, bomb-ass liquor connections that I'm envious of, and there isn't a law enforcement agent in the world that would even think it odd. Like, you wouldn't look at it and think, he's going to drink all this shit and go murder someone with an axe.
Or the other thing is, too, like, we could list stuff on Craigslist and sell liquor, you know what I mean? And you would... I mean, technically it's against the law. You don't have a liquor license, but are you going to get in trouble for it? Is it such a huge thing or a crime?
Somebody actually did. I'm going to try to look it up right now. There was a guy on the East Coast who was really into wine. I want to say he was in Pennsylvania. I'm going to look it up real quick.
He had to have been doing a lot of, some big sales or something, though.
I think it's wine resale.
And the whole, place. I mean, even while you're looking that up, I mean, even the whole idea of not being able to distill your own booze, like in the South, all the moonshiners, all that shit, yeah. it's completely illegal. Like, you could buy that liquor at a store, yeah. but you can't make it yourself or sell it. It's just fucking weird.
And that's the crazy thing, though, is like we talked about this on the Prohibition episode where people would make stuff that would actually kill people.
Right.
You know, so maybe that's a public service, like that these guys aren't allowed to create.
Yeah,
like,
I guess
crazy,
so. I guess so. You're
crazy concoctions.
Yeah, you're stopping them from making paralyzes.
When I get my bus going again, I'm going to mess with some cops. I'm just going to get a bunch of those little Ziplocs and fill them with whiskey.
Just put a legalized.
Just a big wad of cash and little whiskey bags.
And a legalized weed sticker on the back or legalized cannabis, on the back.
Right.
Is that an open container if it's in a sealed Ziploc?
Yep.
Look into that.
Yes, it is.
Well, and just buy a bunch of little mini bottles.
Yeah, and they'll be like,
just have like 60 mini bottles that are sealed in a bag with a wad of cash.
So this alcohol resale case, what was happening was apparently there are lots of wine grown or produced in California where like we couldn't buy them. Yeah. You have to buy it by the case. This guy in Pennsylvania, he was a businessman. He liked really fine wine, but so that he could tap into this like ultra blue label type wine market, he would buy cases and then he would sell bottles to friends. And these snitching ass DEA type folks infiltrated his little, boho wine circle and bought a couple bottles of wine from him, and they ended up seizing $160,000 worth of wine.
Why do they care?
Exactly. Yeah. Who gives a shit? He was selling a couple bottles here and there to friends to defray the cost of, obviously he had quite a hobby.
But not a liquor license.
I would say that delves into the tax issue again.
Sure, absolutely.
It's stealing from the government from their fucking taxes.
No, that motherfucker should have been taxing it and giving the government its slice.
And this was told to us too, like I thought was interesting. As long as you're taxing the cash and paying your taxes, they'll kind of leave you alone.
That was think about that. That was the Eric Garner choke out six cops incident for selling a couple loose, like single smokes on the corner. You know what I mean? Like, really? That goes back to Dave's thing. Like, just leave him alone in Kalakala. Like, that's the same mentality. Yeah. Like, there are bigger fish to fry than some dude selling a bottle
for
of wine.
Sure.
Yeah. Man. So any final thoughts on weed, gentlemen?
I don't know.
I want to smoke some.
Like I said, I have reservations. I'm not in the circles. I'm not, I don't do it. Trent, before we went and floated, he offered me some chips. I politely said, no, I'm good. I don't really need it. It's not something, it's like going to church. I don't need to go to church. You can offer it to me all you want. And I just don't need it in my life, So
it's not for everyone. I do feel a little bit that some people will do it that wouldn't have done it.
Hands
a little easier. There's some weird little things that might little side things that happen. But I think ultimately, if it's regulated correctly, and the things that I expressed my concern about was like the facilities and it being monitored, the edible stuff does really worry
me. Well, I have to say,
into a bag of that candy.
I mean, I have to say that I smoked more weed in high school than I have as an adult. I've probably smoked no weed as an adult.
Right.
Like, I think everything I've smoked or had has been before I turned at least 20. You know what I mean? And I consider 25 to be an adult.
I smoked twice as much weed in my 40s as I did the first 30 years.
I drank so many 40s in my teens.
As promised at the beginning, I wanted to, on our Facebook page, Brad challenged to see if anybody could pick what his closing song was going to be. And I want to read what the final votes were.
And Dave's got the last say, because I didn't even look after the first day or so.
Do you want to say sponsors before that? Is he going to play the song right after?
Okay, the sponsors. Let's do our shout outs and then we'll do that.
All right. So thank you to That Beard Stuff or Beard Balm. Check them out at their Etsy store. You can just Google them and find them. They're on Facebook and Instagram. If you live in Bakersfield, there are multiple barber shops and specifically Wolf Creek Tattoo. I think it's on 19th and Q. Thank you to Digital Creations for coffee mugs and keychains and all the cool stuff that they make us. If you need any prints or photo gifts, they do all kinds of cool stuff. And even if you don't live in Bakersfield, you could probably work it out. So just look up Digital Creations on Facebook. They are on Instagram now and a website coming soon. Also, thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce for sending us all the cool hot sauce. If you haven't tried that, it's available at Walmart. Most of the smaller grocery chains will have all the flavors. The big chains only have green and red. Thank you to Ruger Guns for sending us a bunch of cool stuff, license plates and whatnot. We're going to start handing those out. We just haven't figured out a way to deploy those and to whom we're going to send them to. So thank you to all those people for helping us.
Thank you for our sponsors. And here we go. Here are the votes for the closing song from Victoria Barton. She says that she thinks it's going to be Because I Got High by Afro Man.
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I was supposed to answer.
Yeah. Should we not say that it just plays and it's like, congrats.
They ain't guessing it. I didn't even look, but
I'll go through because the thing was they would get a shout out if they got it right. So we have to know.
They get a shout out either way. Right.
Terry McGee, well, a couple of them kind of cheated because they were told to guess one, and a lot of them were like chiming in with mm-hmm. multiple votes.
That's all right.
Terry McGee said he thought it was going to be Cypress Hill Hits from the Bong, Sublime's Smoke Two Joints, or Black Sabbath's Sweet Leaf.
Nope.
David Schmuck said Tom Petty's Mary Jane.
Mm-mm.
Brandon Stebbins said Legalize It by Peter Tosh.
Who's Peter Tosh?
Peter McIntosh, one of the... pioneers of ragga music.
Reggae sound. Oh, yeah. Who gives a fuck? Nope.
Mary Jane by Rick James.
Nope.
All right. You all failed.
Yep. So again, don't be a retard.
Trees grow wild with weed fields. The fucking pigs with shields holding the blue steel. Greenhouse effect with the weed connect. DEA can't keep the green thumb in check. HPS, God bless the whole crop. Please God, don't let me see no cops. Truck load ready to hit the highway. Don't let the eye in the sky fly my way. Or we gonna have big trouble, that's no shit. Can't be growing without no permit. But fuck that, I study the 215 strip. That way when they come, they can suck my dick. We can't grow without attention. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. I'd like to tell you just where I'm from. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. I'd like to tell you just where I'm from.
Yo, Dr. Green Thumb, come on back one time.
People can't live without the urban. If not, they be drinking and dropping and swerving. But thanks to Dr. Green Thumb, we grow in the backyard or inside with hydro. Green dream, tasty, blowing the fucking smoke screen. Cycles of weed are constantly grown. Somebody give me the price of the cut drones. I'd like to stop, but it feels so good. 20 plants sticking up my whole neighborhood. DEA never wanna leave green alone. But never, ever, ever got a warrant from my home. What that funny sound knocking at the door? Sorry, Green Thumb, can't talk no more. Please don't follow me into the sun. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb. Hello, my name is rehab. If I can't drive, then call me a cab. In my closet, the weed is dried out. Like it said, ain't no place to hide out. I don't wanna buy no weed from no cop. Get locked up and they close up my shop. That's why I buy no weed from no one. That's why they call me Dr. Green Thumb. The scientific, mystical one. Growing my crop with the rays of the sun. Come on, come on, and see how it's done. If you see the pigs, there's no need to run. Cause some of these pigs are down with Green Thumb. But you never know what. The weed is growing like my erection. Look, I never told you where I was from. Some call me rebel, I'm Dr. Green Thumb. Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.
Hello, my name is Dr. Green Thumb.